Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Good morning. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been working through a series that we are calling Resilient. And we are looking at, during this season that we find ourselves in, what it means to be a truly resilient follower of Christ. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ who is flexible, who is adaptable, and who weathers those storms? And I don't have any misconceptions about it. I know that this season has been extraordinarily hard for a number of people. They're concerned about their safety. They're concerned about their livelihood, if their job may be at stake. They're concerned about, when will life go back to normal, and will we ever go back to that true normal that we had beforehand? And I also know that this has been a very difficult season for some of you who are doers. And what I mean by that, those of you who are very action-oriented, and I have a number of friends who are staunchly in that category, and we love those people and we praise God for them. But in this season, there's very little that we can do. There are very few things that we can get our hands on. In fact, we should get our hands off of many things. But there are very few things that we can put our hands to and that we can make a change by just putting our hands to it in this season, because we're socially distanced and we are trying to make sure that we keep everything safe and sanitized. And so there's a difficulty there when you like to be in the middle of things and doing the work and you're very hands-on. But this is a season for followers of Christ. Even though we may not be hands-on, we are definitely prayers on. And that can be the case no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. And the last 2 weeks, as we've started this series, we've been looking at one verse in the Bible, Romans 12:12. And we've been taking one phrase at a time as we've been working through the series. And let me just read Romans 12:12 to you. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So the last 2 weeks we talked about rejoicing in hope and being patient in tribulation. And today we're looking at being constant in prayer. What does it mean to be constant in prayer? Does that mean that I'm always walking around with my head down and my eyes closed? Well, I hope not, because that could be dangerous in and of itself. But what does it mean to be in a constant state of prayer? What does it mean to live in that place? Well, in the book of Ephesians, we find a verse, and that's where I want to look today, and I want to take that verse, and I want to look at what does it mean to be praying in all ways at all times. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, this is what Paul writes, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Join with me in prayer. Lord God, we come before you this morning. And as we come before you, we recognize that this is a season of hands off, but prayers on. And so, Father, we ask that this morning that you would remind us again, or maybe teach us for the first time, what it means to be constant in prayer. And we ask that you would reveal that to us. We ask that you would speak to us from your word. And we ask that you would guide us into a deeper walk with you through the practice of prayer during this time, so that we may know that resilience that comes from following Christ. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing you find there in Ephesians chapter 6 is that we are to pray at all times while surrendered to the Holy Spirit. That first phrase tells us that, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, to pray in the Spirit? That means that I am praying and my life, my mind, my heart, my mouth, they are controlled by the Holy Spirit. That means I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, there is something that stands in the way of that, and that is sin. Sin stands in the way of God filling me with His Holy Spirit. And if I have unconfessed, unrepentant sin in my life, God is going to be a break in that communion with God. This is what we find in Psalm chapter 66, the 66th Psalm, verse 18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If I had cherished, if I had stored up iniquity in my heart, if I have unconfessed, unrepentant sin in my heart, God doesn't listen to my prayers. So many times, we talk to people whenever I'm talking about prayer or I'm preaching about prayer or I'm just doing a one-on-one with a person, talking to them about how they can have a deeper prayer life. The first thing that we always talk about is the importance of confessing. The importance of going before God and understanding that God is who God says He is, and we adore Him and we give Him praise, but we also confess. Before we start asking for things, before we start praying for guidance, before we start praying for direction, we have to make sure that that line of communication is open. And so we have to pray while surrendered in the Spirit. We are surrendered to God's Spirit. And the beautiful thing about this is that God's Spirit can inform us and He can teach us how we need to pray. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought." But then he says this, "But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." It's a beautiful thing that when I am surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I don't know what to pray, sometimes God's Holy Spirit, he gives me what I need to know in order to pray. Usually it's informed from God's Word. There have been times, and maybe you've had this same situation where you've been praying and God just lays someone on your mind. There's just a thought about someone. You can't really shake it. And you just begin to pray for them. And I can't tell you the number of times that God has just done that. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I'll wake up thinking about somebody and I'll just start praying. And then sometimes I'll find out later they were going through something during that time. And you probably have had similar situations that have emerged in your life where you've prayed for someone, not knowing what exactly was going on, but you just knew that you needed to pray for them. And I know some of you, probably some of you who are watching, you've sent me texts in the last few weeks and emails and phone calls and just said, "Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you." And every single time, it has always come at a time where I have needed that the absolute most. So thank you for praying. Thank you for being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then, according to Romans, not only does the Holy Spirit of God, he gives us what to pray sometimes, but also when we don't even know the words, Holy Spirit of God, He prays for us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God Himself prays for us to Himself, so that those prayers may be heard, even if I don't know what it is. So it's very important that we pray while we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit. The second "all" phrase that we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 is this. The first one is praying at all times in the Spirit. Secondly, with all prayer and supplication. What does that mean, all prayer? Well, some translations say this, all kinds of prayer, all types of prayer. Now, some people have taken that to mean all sorts of postures of prayer. And we can do that as well. Absolutely. It means you can pray while you're standing up. You can pray on your knees. You can pray on your face before God. You can pray while you're seated. You can bow your head. You can lift your head. You can raise your hands. You can clasp your hands. You can pray in all sorts of postures. But this phrase doesn't just talk about postures. It's talking about types of prayer, all kinds of prayer. So what are some of those kinds of prayer? Well, let me give you a really short list, but these are some of the major types of prayer. First of all, there's one that we talked about earlier. There's confession, a prayer of confession. Confession means to speak the same thing. Now, when I was a kid growing up and I would get in trouble, I thought that confession meant this. Well, you got me. You caught me. Yeah, too bad you caught me. That's what I thought confession was. But that's not the biblical idea of confession. Confession in the Bible is the idea of, yes, God, what I have done is wrong, and I agree with you about what I've done. That's what the word confession means. Literally, it means to speak the same thing, to agree with God about what he says regarding my sin, regarding your sin. That's the idea of confession. We find in Psalm 51 an incredible psalm of confession from David. Psalm 51, verse 1 begins, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And here's this speaking the same thing. "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." What is David talking about here? Well, he's talking about this sin that he committed whenever he was lusting after one of his soldiers' wives who was off in battle, and then he slept, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, this soldier's wife, and then had the soldier murdered to cover the fact that he had gotten Bathsheba pregnant. But then you have verse 4 of Psalm 51 where David says, "Against you, you only, have I sinned." He's talking to God. "God, I've sinned against you." Well, doesn't it seem like he sinned against his soldier, Uriah, and he sinned against Bathsheba? Well, he did, but ultimately his sin was against God. Because Bathsheba, Uriah, they never wrote a law. A perfect moral law. They never had a perfect moral standard that they had written. God has a perfect moral standard. Now, what he did against them was wrong, and it was a sin against them for certain. But ultimately, he knew that he was going to have to stand before God. And if he was right with everyone else, he needed to be right with God. So one of the types of prayers is confession. Another type of prayer is praise. And that's just what we did this morning. We just spent some time just praising God and adoring God. Psalm 9, starting with verse 1. "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Do your prayers involve praise? Do your prayers involve a time of worship with God? Worship directed toward God? And if not, let me encourage you, find some time to praise God in your prayers. So there's confession, there's praise, there is worship. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we find this incredible prayer. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the kingdoms and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. That's a prayer of worship. There's praise, giving God praise for who he is, and then there's worship. There's recounting all of the wonders of God and showing him how worthy he truly is in our hearts and in our minds. And connected to that, if you keep reading there in 1 Chronicles 29, you get to the next verse. It's thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 29:13. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Are there times when you pray that you take time to thank God? Do you just go before God and just thank him for something? One of the things that I try to do is often whenever I'm praying, I try to thank God for some particular things. I'll go through and I'll say, God, thank you for some physical blessing. And I'll say, God, thank you for some relational blessing. And also I'll pray, God, thank you for some spiritual blessing. So I go through and I try to think about different areas of my life where God has blessed, and I just thank him for those different areas. Do you exercise gratitude in your prayers? Are you going before God and just thanking him and just pouring out that gratitude to him? So many times I found in my own life, when I reach a point that I start feeling, a little out of line with God, or maybe I get to a place that I'm just sensing a little bit of being sad or depressed or anything like that, if I go back and start recounting all the ways I can thank God and all the ways that he has blessed, that is enough to really shake me out of a lot of those thought patterns if I'm having what some people refer to as an attitude of gratitude. But so many times we don't express that gratitude to God. We just take those things for granted. So include thanksgiving in your prayer. Petition in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer from the end of the earth. I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Whenever we pray a petition, we're asking God to do something. We're asking him to do something specific in our lives. Like a loving father, we're asking him to intervene and work. What's the difference in petition and intercession? Intercession is usually when we pray for somebody else and we're praying things for God's kingdom. We're praying that God would do things, not just meet some physical need, not just answer some prayer for some temporal incident or some temporal circumstance, but we are asking God, God, do something that will enrich and grow and magnify your kingdom. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. An incredible prayer that Paul prays about the church in Ephesus. And he writes that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice, Paul isn't praying for any of their physical needs there. Not that their physical needs are unimportant. They are. But he's praying that God would enrich them spiritually. So whenever you pray, make sure that you pray those things. Don't just pray, God, help this person physically, or help this person with this sickness, or help me with these finances, but pray for things about God's kingdom. Pray that God will grow his kingdom. Those are the things that will truly, truly last. The next thing we find is that we are to pray with all perseverance. And that's what he says in this passage in Ephesians 6. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. We talked about being patient in tribulation last week. And now he's saying that as we are to be constant in prayer, part of that consistency in prayer is persevering in prayer. It's been interesting over the last few weeks, the number of people who have been posting all manner of things about prayer. And that's a good thing. A lot of churches are posting many things about prayer. We've been doing 30 days of prayer that will continue on past our 30-day mark into wherever it is or however how long we're going to be praying. We're going to continue to send out those daily devotions about how you can pray more specifically. But it's been really interesting to watch a lot of people and a lot of churches that have not emphasized prayer suddenly emphasize prayer. Suddenly, it becomes a very important thing when you have to be hands-off, but prayer's on. And one of the thoughts that I shared with some people yesterday was this, that what you depend upon in comfort is what you will default to in crisis. Whenever you're in a time of comfort, you will default to those things that bring you that type of comfort. You'll immediately run to those things when a crisis emerges. And I've seen so many people run to so many different things and only in recent days have said, I think we'll start praying. Well, that should be our very first response, not our last resort. We should be persevering in prayer through comfort, through crisis, through the good, through the bad. Regardless, we have to persevere in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Make prayer a part, a constant part of our lives. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 reiterates that. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We are to be persevering in prayer. No matter how long it takes, we keep praying. We keep going before God. But what if God doesn't answer my prayer immediately? Well, we keep praying until we get an answer, whether that's yes, no, or continue to pray. That's how we respond. We don't give up with our prayers. In the book of James, chapter 5, it mentions Elijah, an Old Testament prophet. And James writes about how Elijah prayed. And the Bible tells us Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Now the reason Elijah prayed for those for it not to rain was because God was bringing judgment upon the nation because they had turned to idols. And so Elijah prayed by the leading of God and proclaimed a drought, and a drought came. But it says in James chapter 5 that he prayed fervently. Literally, the words say this, praying, he prayed. He prayed praying, meaning that he just didn't pray. He prayed praying. Could that be said of your prayer life, that you're a person who prays praying? It's not just you dash off a prayer every now and then, but you pray praying. You see, so many times we say, I'm going to pray before I get to the hard work that God has called me to do. Can I just tell you, the hard work God has called us to do is prayer. There are very few things as difficult and as exhausting as going before God and truly pouring out your heart and praying before Him. I know people who say, well, prayer is just so easy. I come away from it and I'm never tired. I'm never exhausted. I dash off a quick prayer and then I'm good. Well, can I tell you, I'm not saying every time you have to be exhausted, but I am saying prayer is extraordinarily hard work because Satan knows there's power in prayer and he will do everything that he can to keep you from deep, meaningful, consistent, persevering prayer. This passage that James talks about, or this incident that James talks about, is the original story is found back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 18. And after the drought is, well, it's not over, but Elijah is about to pray that the drought ends. Listen to what happens. So Ahab, that's the king, went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, there's nothing. And he said, go again, seven times. And at the seventh time, he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Notice Elijah goes up on the top of Mount Carmel and he prays. And he asks his servant, go look toward the sea. Tell me what you see. And the servant says, there's nothing. And Elijah does this seven times. What if Elijah had stopped at the sixth time? What if Elijah had said, five's enough? What if Elijah had said, well, I prayed three times and nothing happened? No. Elijah prayed until God answered. God had not told him to stop praying, and so Elijah persevered in prayer. We need to understand the power of persevering in prayer. Those things that we desire, those things that we know God desires for us, we should continue to pray for those until God gives us an answer. And the final thing we find in this passage is that we are to pray for the needs of the followers of Christ. Now, we pray for other people as well, but in this particular passage, making supplication for all the saints. We are to pray for one another. Remember, church is not where we go. Church is who we are. And since that's the case, we need, as we are connected to each other, we need to lift each other up in prayer. We need to pray for one another. During this season, we pray for one another's needs. We've prayed for each other before this season began. We as a church, since January of last year, have been emphasizing prayer. And we have been praying more and more and more, providing more and more opportunities for our people to pray with each other and for each other and for God to respond and work in incredible ways. And we've seen some incredible answers to prayer. But we are to pray for each other. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Paul is saying, pray for me. Strive together with me. That word can also be translated agonize with me in prayer. Do the hard work of prayer. Do the hard, knee-numbing, sweaty brow, hunger-inducing, exhaustion-creating prayer. Pray hard. Praying, pray. Pray, praying. Continue. Persevere. And pray for me, Paul says. There's an incredible promise in John chapter 15 that Jesus makes about when we pray. When we pray for each other, we pray for ourselves, we ask God, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, a lot of times we like to latch on to that last phrase. Whatever you wish, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And we say, that's amazing. It's a blank check. I can just pray for whatever. Notice the first two phrases though. If you abide in me, that means if you stay put in me. If you stay firmly rooted in me and my words abide in you, if you are in the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, seeking the will of God, then what happens is if I am abiding in Christ, if I'm staying put in Christ, if I'm filled with His Spirit, if I'm relying upon the Word of God, if I am seeking His truth, then He guides my prayers. And He enables me to know the right things to ask for, the things that will glorify God the most, the things that God desires to give to me, to give to you, to increase His kingdom. And God answers those prayers. God answers prayers according to His will. And if I pray according to His will, God answers those prayers. But I won't know His will unless I am being filled with His Holy Spirit and guided by His Word. If I just go off on my own and say, well, I think this needs to happen. I think I need this. And then I pray to God, but I'm not being filled with the Spirit, and I'm not relying upon His Word, and I'm not making sure that I'm clean and close before Him, then I will start praying for the wrong things in the wrong way. And God's not obligated to answer that, not at all. But when I go before God and I'm abiding in Him, I'm staying put, I'm allowing Him to cleanse my heart, I'm allowing Him to direct my thoughts, I'm surrendering completely and totally to Him and His Word, and I'm living in obedience to what He has called me to do, then He will start transforming my mind, and He will give me the right motives. He'll give me the right desires, and I will pray the right things. The most important thing, the most important prayer that we're going to pray is to pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins. That's the most important prayer that you can pray today. If you have never done that, and that means you don't have a relationship with Christ. And it is so easy in this case, it is truly easy to go before God and say, God, I recognize I'm a sinner and I want to turn. I'm confessing. I'm saying the same thing about my sin that you say about it, that my sin has separated me from you. But I'm coming before you, God, and I am admitting I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that He will do what He says He will do, that if I trust in Him, that I will have eternal life. And then we just surrender our lives to Him. We pour out our lives before Him. He fills us with His Spirit. He comes, He lives within us. He gives us an eternal home in heaven. But this is how we pray to God. I remember whenever I was a little kid, my mom, she is an incredible woman of prayer. And she is the one who taught me how to pray when I was a little kid. And one night, she told me, I'm going to come in here later. I'm not going to pray your prayers with you, your bedtime prayers. I'm going to come in later, and I'm just going to check to make sure that you've prayed. But from now on, I want you to pray to God yourself, and then I'll come pray for you afterwards. And that went on for a number of weeks, and I remember one evening I was lying in bed. I was around 6 years old, and I was lying there, and I was praying. And I remember praying, God, help all those people who don't know You to discover who Jesus is. And in that moment, God convicted my heart and let me know that I was one of those people that had never made a decision to follow Christ. And I remember praying right there in my bed that God would save me, because I was trusting Jesus from that point on. And He did. And it's just that, it's the child's simplicity, a child's understanding. You don't have to understand all sorts of deep and all sorts of deep theology and all sorts of underlying theological principles. You just need to know that you're a sinner and that Jesus is a Savior and that He is gracious and He is merciful. And if we call to Him in mercy, call out to Him for mercy and for grace, He responds to us. If you are a believer in Christ and a follower of Christ, maybe your prayer life has gotten weak. Maybe during this season especially, God has drawn you back into the practice of prayer. Can I give you an encouragement? That's wonderful. Can I give you another warning? Don't let that end when this crisis ends. Don't go back to being the way that you were before. Just cold, routine prayers. Allow this to take you into a deeper place of prayer with God. Pray with me if you would. Lord God, thank You for the practice of prayer. Thank You that we can come before You and we can talk to You at any time about anything. And You hear. You listen. God, I have never gotten over that. That You, God, the Creator of the universe, not because of anything we did, but just out of Your grace and Your mercy and Your sacrifice of Your Son, You listen to our prayers. And moreover, you answer them. You're intimately acquainted with every one of our needs, and you meet us where we are, and you answer prayer. So, Father, I pray that today, for anybody listening, anybody watching, either now or later, if they've never made a decision to follow you today, I pray today would be the day they would pray that simple prayer. God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I trust Christ. I trust his sacrifice. Thank you for saving me. God, I pray that you would transform lives. And Father, I pray for those who are listening and watching, and they are followers of Christ. I pray that today would mark a day that they would take a deeper, more passionate, more persevering step into the practice of prayer, and that you would meet them there, and that you would help equip them with everything they need in order to continually practice that prayer, both not only now, but in the days to come. And Father, again, I just pray that you would raise our church up even more as a church of prayer, a church that loves prayer, a church that believes in the power of prayer, a church that doesn't just do lip service to prayer, but a church that lives by prayer. Make us that people even more so, God. And we give you all the thanks and all the glory and all the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.